Gemma, and the secret to reading out names from the Bible is just do it really confidently, because pretty much no one has any idea how to say a lot of them, and that will get you by. What we're going to be doing over these next 3 weeks is looking at this course we've come up with called Jesus and Introduction, and the aim of this course that we put together is to have a place to invite people to as a step before church. We've run it a couple of times, we're going to run it again in term two, term three, term four, but we want to give you guys confidence in the Lord Jesus and confidence in that. So we're going to do it in church and in our growth groups for these kind of next 3 weeks. If you're not in a growth group, I'll talk a bit more about that at the end, but all the material will get online so that you can see it. There are more videos than we will look at in church and even in group, like the one that we just had from Helen up there. Lots more stories like that of Jesus in people's lives. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take a look at part of the first question in the Jesus and Introduction series. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way you worked in Helen's life, that you showed her that the Lord Jesus has died for her sin and covered it, and she is loved and absolutely worthy through what he's done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come here and think about you, and we pray you turn our thoughts into worship as we come to know you more and more, who you are and all that you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Jesus and Introduction series runs through kind of three big questions. Who is Jesus? What does he come to do? What does it mean to follow him? And the first week, we're looking at the question, who is Jesus? Now, we're only going to take a tiny look at part of that question, and the rest of the course material explores more of it. So the question we're going to wrestle with is, if we're going to ask who is Jesus, one of the things we need to look at is, can we actually know about him reliably from the Bible? Because the Bible is the primary place we find out about Jesus. So, you know, kind of first base foundation before we get to Jesus, is the Bible reliable? When it makes those huge statements like Gemma read out for us, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, when it says that, can we rely on those big claims? So to talk about the reliability of the Bible and whether we can see Jesus in it, I want to talk a little bit about my family's first Kia Carnival. We're up to our third Kia Carnival now. Some people count their life in birthdays. We count it in Kia Carnival eras. This is our first one, which was sadly written off. Don't worry, everyone was safe, although a little shaken, and one of my children's biggest concerns was that they could no longer go to town and get grapes. What happened is that my wife up the back, Maddie, was driving. Don't worry, Maddie, you come out looking fine in this story. But anyway, she was driving, and then a rigid body truck kind of went past and clipped the corner of it, and that's what happened. And I was called at work, and then I got on my little scooter at the time, and nothing looks tougher than a husband turning up on a little tiny scooter. And when I got there, there was my wife, Maddie, and then the guy in the truck. And, talking to them separately, one of them's telling me one thing about how it happened, another one's telling me another thing, and then someone's giving these details, and someone's giving those details. And trying to get to the bottom of it all just seemed impossible. And I wonder if often that's how we can feel about the Bible. That what it is someone sort of giving these thoughts and someone kind of giving these thoughts, and it's just sort of difficult really to get to the bottom of it all. Is that what's happening in the Bible? Can we reliably know about Jesus given all of that? Can we know who he is? Can we know he even existed? I mean, really, can it tell us that reliably? Did Jesus even exist to start with? You know, there are heaps of people outside of Christianity, as well as inside, who at that base level will attest to the idea, will say, yes, Jesus definitely existed. Even a bunch of non-church, non-Christian people say, yeah, of course he exists. Maurice Casey is an atheist guy. That means he doesn't believe in any God. Remarkably, he studies the Bible for a living. He's at the University of Nottingham, and listen to this for a bit of friendly fire in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. The view that Jesus didn't exist is demonstrably false. It's fueled by a regrettable form of atheist prejudice, which holds all the main primary sources and Christian people in contempt. Most of its proponents are also extraordinarily incompetent. That's strong words, hey. Another bloke who's not a Christian fellow, North Carolina University, Bart Ehrman, says, "I don't think there's any serious historian who doubts the existence of Jesus. We have more evidence for Jesus than we have for almost anybody in this time period." There is a huge amount of agreement that Jesus was the start of the Christian movement. And it all goes back to within a few years of when he was kind of resurrected. I'll tell you how. Most people who study this stuff, both Christian people and non-Christian people, will say that the earliest letter in the New Testament is the letter to the city of Galatia called Galatians. It's written in about 50 AD by a guy named the Apostle Paul. It's widely agreed to be the first thing written around about 50 AD. The Apostle Paul wrote it, and we know about Paul, he started following Jesus some 17-ish years earlier from Galatians and the book of Acts, we know that. So he's back here, where it's 33 AD now. This is only a tiny period of time from when Jesus is said to have died. Possibly months, at most 3 years. So what we know is whoever this bloke was, Jesus, enough had happened that someone who formerly hated him has actually started to follow him and then write books about him. And lots of people agree that the Christian movement started very, very, very early. And that's just an example of why they say that. There's another guy, you can Google this if you can spell it, Gerd Ludemann. Another guy who's not Christian, in fact atheist, he doesn't believe in the resurrection, but he has argued very strongly that Christianity started within weeks of Jesus' death and that there were churches all over the place within a decade. So, you know, at a base level, the Bible does reliably tell us that Jesus existed. Saying he didn't is a bit like saying my Kia wasn't written off. We absolutely know it was, whether or not we can tell anything else. Existing is one thing, but is the Bible then reliable on other stuff? You know, isn't it like that game, it's called Telephone Now, I think it used to be called Chinese Whispers. You know the game where you get in a row and someone sort of starts up here and they say, Jesus wore a necktie, and then they pass it to them and they pass it to them and they pass it to them, and you get over here and it's Jesus is resurrected. Is that what happened? Did somebody start with one thing and it got passed down through so many people that eventually it just sort of got changed into something quite epic? It's kind of true. You know, the Bible wasn't written on a set of like golden plates and then sort of carefully handed down to us and you can go and see it in a museum today. That's not how it was done. What happened was is the Christian movement got started. The group of the people who are around Jesus, kind of his apostles and their team. Everyone from that team, from that time, and from their kind of pen, they wrote the Bible, the people who saw Jesus and were around him. And then as they got older and they wanted to spread the news, more people started making copies of that. And then they started making copies of copies. And then they started making copies of copies of copies of copies. And you get the picture. And it has resulted in hundreds of thousands of mistakes. At least 400,000 that we know about. I think I've shared one of my favorite text mistakes before with you, but it's in a line of copies of the Bible that we have to the letter to the Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul is quoted as saying, "We were horses among you." Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound right. But the thing is, because we have so many copies and so many copies of copies of copies, we can go back to copies from roughly the same time and to a little bit before, and then we realize, hang on, the horses thing started here, but before that and beside that, the word was gentle. Ah, we were gentle among you. That's far better than horses. And actually, there's kind of belief that the further we get away from Jesus, the worse our Bible gets. It's actually the opposite, particularly in the last kind of 50, 100 years. The more kind of ancient copies of the Bible they discover, the more we're able to sort through and figure out what's really been written there. And in fact, the vast majority of the kind of mistakes in the Bible can be sorted out like the "we were horses among you" kind of mistake. And even then, No more than 1% of the entire New Testament is in any way suspect, and none of it has any bearing on the historical or doctrinal or major beliefs of the Christian faith. Yes, there are copies of copies, but actually it's resulted in us having a much more reliable source of finding out the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Let me tell you something else. Let me show you a comparison between Jesus and some other kind of ancient characters. I'll put a picture up on the screen, and somebody from the previous congregation said, that picture doesn't make any sense. And I said, you're right. So I tried to demonstrate it. The big yellow circle is copies of, you know, Christian writings, and the little yellow circles are other characters from history. It's showing how... I'll show you. Anyway, I need some help. Okay, Andrew Kite at the back. Can you just stand up? Okay. This is Andrew at the back, everyone. And we're going to pretend I am Julius Caesar. I know, it won't take much imagination. So let's pretend I am Julius Caesar, and this is the big gap through history, and this man at the back, Andrew, is one of the first copies of something written about Julius Caesar we have. There's an enormous gap between the existence of Julius Caesar and writings about Julius Caesar, but not many people are questioning stuff about Julius Caesar. Sit down, thanks, Andrew. Okay, whose personal space can I invade? Brian, stand up. This is Brian. I've got to stand 1.5 meters, but it needs to be closer. This is Brian here, so just imagine that for the sake of the argument, I'm the writers of the New Testament and Jesus. And Brian's, you know, one of the first people to write about Jesus. And this is the gap in history between Jesus and the first people to... Stand a bit closer. And one of the first people to write about Jesus. The gap in history between when Jesus is written about and when Jesus existed is very, very small compared to other figures in history. Thanks, Brian. And that document, that picture is actually at a website called Visual Unit and in the material for the course. But really, just to say, in comparison to other historical figures, the Lord Jesus is written about far more reliably, far more closely, far more extensively than just about every other historical historical character. There's a video also about this in the course material if you want to have a look. Hey, listen, we are really wrestling with the first question of Jesus in introduction. This morning, we only get a tiny way into answering the question, who is Jesus? And as far as we can get this morning, it is the idea that can Jesus reliably be known about from the Bible? Is he someone we can see there? And on the evidence, billions of people have said, yes, we can know who this Jesus is in the Bible. I reckon, though, to get more of the answer to that question, there's much more to be asked. And that's what the Jesus Introduction Course does. And if you're in a growth group, one of our small groups that meets together, you'll actually get the chance to explore this question more and read Luke's Gospel over the coming weeks as we wrestle with this. If you don't know about growth groups, they're the places we get together to grow in Christian community. They're vital for letting the Bible ask us questions, letting us ask the Bible, throwing around these kind of things, not being afraid to ask, and building great friendships and lifelong mates as we do it. If you've never been part of a growth group or you're looking and thinking of joining one, this is a great time to do it because you can kind of try it for 3 weeks. Try it for 3 weeks and do this course for 3 weeks and just go, I'm just checking this out. And if it works, stay. And if it doesn't, that's great. You tried it. In fact, after our service this morning, the Grow Pastor Peter, Grow and Sundays Pastor Peter, will be down here with someone from the growth group team. You can talk to them and find out more. And you can grab the guides for growth group this week if you're already in a growth group. All right. Well, this morning we've started our journey through Jesus in introduction. We've gone a small way to wrestling with the question, who is Jesus? And what we've got to this morning is the idea that Jesus is someone we can reliably know about from the Bible. I'm going to pray, then we'll sing. Father God, we've in many ways just scratched the surface. We've only just started to think about who the Lord Jesus is. But this morning, we want to say thank you for the Bible. Astoundingly preserved, becoming clearer as time passes. You have protected it and carried it and brought it to us so that we can see your Son, the Lord Jesus, very clearly. And we can take our sin to him, we can ask for forgiveness, and we can live with him. Help us as a church family to wrestle with this question, who Jesus is, as we look into your word. Over these next few weeks, reassure us, give us a firm foundation, and help us to grow in our confidence and worship of your Son. Amen.